sense about.
No more treasure.
Zulu's Attack! NOLA Trash Talk 228. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
I'm Steve McJeezy.
And here we are, February 24th, 2019. First weekend of Mardi Gras. What parades are running right now, Steven? Their parades. We had to do a lot of extra lifting.
It's like femme finale.
Yeah, a lot of extra lifting today to make this show happen. We're in Mid-City, New Orleans in the middle of the day, 2:30 p.m. Steven actually came and fetched me from downtown. I did not have to drive
that
out of the
out
madness.
Well.
I walked through some parades to get over here. Whatever's running uptown that has crossed into the CBD, still going on. There's going to be parades for the rest of the evening. Allah, I believe, is the last one that starts right now. Allah is kicking off right now, 2:30 p.m. uptown. So that will be interfering with traffic throughout downtown for the next 3 to 4 hours. Here we are, Stephen, 228. Another shooting in the French Quarter last night.
Or this morning.
More post-football season violence, as we predicted. On the show, weeks and weeks ago, without our pleasant black and gold distractions to bring the city together, as it were.
Could you imagine if we'd have won the Super Bowl? How, like, it would just be going on until, like, April or May, like the jubilation.
The peace, love, and understanding?
Yeah.
So, Willie's Chicken Shack, 400 block of Bourbon Street. Poor woman got shot and killed just walking by the incident by a stray bullet. A guy was forcibly removed out of Willie's Chicken Shack, apparently. He wanted the secret recipe to the sauce, and they wouldn't give it to him, and he threw a fit. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Which one was it? The one on Kent? I mean, there's multiple
bourbon.
Of them. Bourbon. That's right, yeah.
Steven's not paying attention.
Sorry.
Already. First 45 seconds of the
miss,
show.
Of course.
Guys getting
Bourbon Street shooting.
Guys getting pulled out of the Willie's Chicken Shack by a security guard. He's got a gun holstered. The dude pulls the gun out of the holster. Bunch of gunshots go off. Bystander killed way out on Bourbon Street by the stray bullet. And then the security guard got shot in the neck. He's still alive. And the guy who was wrestling for the gun with 20 years of criminal history, by the way, mostly breaking and entry, he shot himself in the shoulder. And there's a little video on The Advocate, I believe, where he's getting the attacker or assailant is getting popped into the back of the ambulance. So this brings up the debate. And this is just more stuff to frighten all the North Shore people from coming down to the quarter for Mardi Gras again. We don't want to go down there. It ain't safe. Ain't safe no more.
Yeah.
So we're scaring all the Covington people from coming on down. But another debate coming
Except
out of
for
this.
The one guy from Covington who lied about a shooting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
We'll talk about him later.
That was also someone lied about being shot in the quarter, even though he got shot in Covington. The debate seems to be coming out of this already of whether or not the security guards, the private security guards in the French Quarter should be armed. Should be armed, Steven. I think they should be.
Yeah.
Because Mayor Cantrell, bless her heart, they were and the new police chief, Shane Ferguson, were already talking about how they already confiscated like 7 guns this weekend off of French Quarter streets. Good for them, right?
Yeah.
A lot of good that does when you can just take a gun off a guard. Right?
Yep. I don't know.
And again, the whole incident is probably on 8 different camera angles in the quarter.
And, yeah, all of this will be released shortly.
I mean, they already have the guy. I mean, that's over. And the dude has 20 years of criminal history, which I believe is also part of the Advocate's article. It's another one of those cliched New Orleans things. Here we got a guy shooting people, and he's got years and years and years of criminal history, and yet he's still out and about. His first charge is from like 1999, 20 years ago, battery on a teacher.
Was all this
So assuming he was getting arrested back in high school for being violent.
Was all this on New Orleans Reddit? Or was that all in the article?
No, this was, I pulled that up. The Advocate has a more in-depth article. We were looking at the NOLA.com right now for the initial reporting of the shooting. This will be the big thing, though, because it's Mardi Gras, and people getting shot already on Bourbon Street. Innocent people.
That's
innocent,
right.
White, 36-year-old nurse getting shot and killed on Bourbon Street. I guess it doesn't carry as much oomph as a tourist.
And he failed to register as a sex offender.
Well, that was one of his many, many charges.
Oh, gosh.
But what's the bigger takeaway in this story? What time did it happen on Bourbon Street?
It was at non-white people hours.
It was the witching hour, folks. 3 a.m. You do not want to be down on Bourbon Street. I don't care how many hours you got logged hanging out in New Orleans. Unless you are the bar kitchen staff closing up a place, you ain't wandering around Bourbon Street. If you want to get stabbed or shot or mugged, like literally like dumped upside down and they shake the change out of you, don't be in the quarter at all at 3 a.m.
So go over the order of operations here. So
orders of operations is this simple. Willie's Chicken Shack still open, still serving food apparently at 3 a.m. And they're removed. This is the death hour. Late night food spots on Bourbon. This is not the first time. In the last like 4 months, we've seen this happen. Someone being violently removed from a place of business that's probably still selling slices of pizza,
right,
or something, and drunk whatever person doesn't want to leave, and the situation just escalates. And your poor bystanders are going to be those drunk people just trying to get a bite,
right,
at 3 a.m. But you got to know, folks, if you want food that late and you're in the quarter, you got to put that at the risk of them Uber Eats people and make them go get that shit. Stay in your hotel or apartment.
This actually happened to me like 5 years ago.
You got shot for getting some Willie's Chicken Shack?
I was the...
Is Willie's Chicken Shack that good? I've never had it.
No, North Korean Santa installed all of their oil filtration. So he has been in that kitchen before. I have too, actually. So 5 years ago, I was, do you know where the pizza place is? It's like you have the pizza and then you have like the Euros and it's like right by Pato's kind of and like Boondock Saint.
Yeah.
What pizza place I'm talking about right there?
I mean, they're all like Jester or something.
Whatever.
Something.
Well, this is off Bourbon. It's like, it's on Toulouse or whatever corner right there is Pat O'Brien's. I can't remember. Maybe St. Peter. Well, I was getting a slice late night because I was out with some friends. And this is, like I said, 5-6 years ago. Gosh, 2013 would have to been 6 years ago. So these...
Yeah, unless there's some kind of time loop warp. Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, 2013. I was trying to remember what year it was. But these white... I love when white people will just like mock random people. You know, they'll just like... I think because it's like a group of like these college kids, they can just say like...
Anything, local college kids? LSU?
I don't know. They can just say anything they want to you, or they can like look at your girl and like say anything stupid that any drunk person would say.
But here's the thing. When that happens, whatever happens to those people after that, they all deserve it.
All deserve
it. It's the person walking by where it's none of their business.
Right.
Just keep going about it. Now, this unfortunate scenario is just literally a stray bullet hitting a woman uninvolved with a scuffle between a drunk dude and a security guard. This is like the worst possible scenario for anything. This is how I get shot.
Yeah, you have nothing to do with it.
Because I'm following my own rules of staying out of the nonsense, and you still get shot. Yeah. Like, so I only in this case, I would be breaking my rule of not being on the quarter at 3 a.m.
3 a.m. Yeah, this was at least 1:30. So of course these guys say something stupid.
Yeah.
To me.
So
oh, that was what
when
they said.
I get shot, it'll be in the middle of the day. By yes. A stray bullet.
Because you've been following your own rules.
Yeah, me doing everything I was supposed to do. Middle of the day on a busy street.
That'll just be karma.
Well lit, ignoring some guy beating the shit out of his girlfriend. for whatever reason, that's happening in the middle of the day. Still catching a stray bullet. killed instantly.
Everything that you would possibly ignore in one day, you do, and then stray bullet.
Still get killed, yeah.
Yeah, so they were making fun of my shirt. That was it. I was wearing this... This pink polo shirt.
Or even better, a stray bullet fired from the French Quarter goes all the way across Pontchartrain and kills somebody living in Covington who thought they were away from the crime. I know that's not possible, but still.
We gotta talk about this dude's leg in a little bit. But no, they were clowning on my shirt. I was wearing like this pink polo shirt. And like, look at this fucking faggot with, you know, his pink polo shirt. And I think it was...
You were just walking by and they just...
No, I was standing in line for pizza and they're sitting down eating theirs.
Oh.
It's like a place that you can sit in.
Okay, you know, what is the root of all these college kids mouthing off to you?
I have no idea. Hammered.
Come on. Add on to
talk shit. I don't know.
Add on. Why are a bunch of hammered guys talking shit to you? At what time of the night is this?
This is like 1:30.
1:30 in the morning.
Right.
Bunch of hammered dudes are randomly mouthing off at you. These guys don't seem to have anything better going on at 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
Right. No ladies.
Exactly.
No
That's
ladies.
Exactly right.
No whores.
That's right. They got problems.
So it's like, let's get in a fight then, because that's the next rung down on what's our story
like,
going to be.
My Charlie Murphy instinct kicked in, because it's like, remember when Charlie Murphy was talking about Rick James? He thinks that I'm this end to steal on. Like, I'm not this guy to steal on. You know what I'm saying? That's how Charlie Murphy felt about Rick James when he used to, like, you know, line step. And Charlie Murphy's like, my ghetto side kicked in. Well, anyway, oh gosh. I said something back to him, and I went over and I took that pizza and I just threw it right on the floor. I was like, eat that now.
Walked, his pizza?
Yep. And walked right out.
I'm surprised you were not jumped immediately.
Nope. I said, what'd you say? And he said, you heard him. I said, I walked over. I said, eat that pizza off the floor, you little bitch. Walk right out.
I don't believe this.
I swear to God.
I don't believe the story at all.
Where did I'm telling you. You understand, when I was not with Brittany, and was not married, I was not, no kid.
You were a lot more fun.
No, I was a lot more reckless.
Oh, well, Dave. Okay, so we got this little Twitter video shot from a balcony view where they were loading the perp into the back of the ambulance on Bourbon Street last night.
Oh,
and you can see at 3:30 in the morning, still quite a few people around in the 400 block of Bourbon.
So this guy's still alive?
Yeah, he in the scuffle, he just shot himself in the shoulder.
What a piece of garbage.
I'm surprised the security guard who shot in the neck.
Was she just standing in Bourbon? Like, she was just in the middle of Bourbon or on the sidewalk?
Well, you can see, obviously, 3 in the morning last night, lots of people still around.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it's Mardi Gras season.
It's, yeah, first weekend Mardi Gras. I was watching the parades. The crew Pontchartrain came down, and we had a balcony set up right at St. Charles and Poydras, and there was... I mean, there's a crowd, but it was nothing. These
was that Herb Saint?
No, that was last year. I'm talking about yesterday.
Yeah, but where were you on St. Charles?
Blake Hotel.
Oh, no, okay. Gotcha.
Giant balcony running across the entire building. And the crowd's medium, whatever. But if you guys are paying attention, we'll come back to the murder thing in a second. Twisted Sisters D. Snyder was rocking in the crew Pontchartrain. He's actually cousins with the guy who like owns Pontchartrain, and they've been trying to get him to come down and ride forever.
The guy who owns the crew?
Yeah, some highfalutin member of Pontchartrain is cousins with Dee Snyder.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
So they've been trying to get him down forever, and they finally did. So we actually got to meet him and whatnot, and do a little toasty action. Dee doesn't drink, so I don't know how much fun he actually had hanging out down here for Mardi Gras. He was doing a second line on Bourbon Street. If you guys don't know Dee Snyder, Twisted Sister, we're not going to take it. Come on. That's all I'm going to give you.
We're not going
to. Yeah, Steven doesn't even know it.
Yeah, that's the only song I know.
So I was doing that yesterday, and it was very medium. There was still the chance of rain, but it wasn't that bad. Medium crowd, not too terrible. I saw that it did rain pretty hard later on in the evening Sparta and Pygmalion.
Between like 4 and 6, yeah, it went bad.
At that point, I was retreated back into my apartment and strapping in for a 12-hour sleep fest.
Yeah, you slept for a while, huh?
I don't get to sleep in.
Right.
Every day, if I have something to do, I can't wake up or I can't sleep in. Even on Saturdays, couldn't do it. So, I'm fully rested and wired for NOLA Trash Talk today, Steven.
See that.
And it's a beautiful Sunday.
It is unbelievable outside. I hate... These are the
Such a shame we got to talk about being shot on Bourbon Street.
I know.
Yet again.
So, I'm sorry. Answer my question, because I know you said this before, but I wasn't listening because I'm an idiot. Where was she shot at?
I don't have that.
It just doesn't say.
She's not... It's just... There's a crowd of people on Bourbon. A gun goes off. Right.
But she wasn't in the restaurant.
No.
Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
They don't say that, no.
That's all I wanted to know.
Yes. After 3 a.m. in the 400 block of Bourbon. There you go. Okay, guys. Well, scrolling
that
on.
That just sucks.
So we can go through the suspect's rap sheet.
What a piece of garbage, man.
So he's 37.
Yeah.
All right, so the guy who shot himself in the shoulder last night and killed the woman, he's 37, and his first criminal charge was 20 years ago with a battery of a teacher. So in high school when he was 17,
like,
he was beating up one of his teachers.
I love how a 37-year-old who's a piece of shit, takes out a productive member of our society who's the same age as him, roughly.
That's true, yeah. Almost
like,
the same age.
It's like, dude, like, your life was shit anyway.
But when these things happen, I take it really...
I mean, obviously, he didn't mean to do that.
I take things like this really esoterically. It's like, why does bad things happen to good people? I was like, well, this just goes to the random, unpredictable nature of the universe where nothing really matters. Because you could do everything right for 36 years. Yeah. And still just get shot in the head.
Have you ever seen the Family Guy opening?
At least if I'm going to get shot in the head, let me be a criminal degenerate who's been running the game
right.
for decades.
Because the odds of you are much higher.
Yeah, it's like, I'll take the bullet in the head then because I'm a criminal. This is right. how we die.
Of course.
But if you're someone who's trying on the straight and narrow and you still get shot. It
sucks. It sucks to be you.
Or if you just randomly get run over by a bus. Or my favorite one is when you slip and fall and just or someone walking down the street and like a chunk of ice falls off. This doesn't happen here, obviously.
Oh god.
Chunk of ice just hits you as you're walking down the street because it cracked off a balcony.
And you're dead.
Dead immediately. Yep.
I've heard
or when
that
when a drunk guy is getting kicked out of a bar and he tries to swing at the bouncer and the bouncer punches him and because he's drunk he just goes down limp and he cracks his head on the side of the sidewalk. Boom, dead.
Right. And just, now bouncer has legal issues.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, the complete, like, randomness. Like, you could have done everything okay, minus trying to throw a punch at a bouncer. But you slip on the banana peel the right way. You just fall in the shower, crack your head. Done.
That's so funny. This just happened to the coach of Syracuse basketball.
He slipped in the shower?
He was driving home from the game the other night, and he killed somebody in Syracuse.
Was like, it snowy everywhere?
Yeah, and somebody was, I guess, I didn't read the story completely. I'm just thinking that they were, like, changing their tire on the side of the road in Syracuse, New York. So Jim Boeheim had to coach at Duke, like, 3 days later. And he said, I'm gonna coach. I'm like, are you out of your mind how traumatic that would have been? You killed somebody. And now 3 days later, you're like, all right, back to X's and O's.
Well, yeah, man, they're driven.
I guess so.
You think Bill Belichick would run over somebody and, like, carry that guilt with
him?
Or would he be back in the practice room the next day?
No questions. No comment.
All right, so this guy on Bourbon Street, the murderer, here's his history of charges. Booked with disturbing the peace and battery of a school teacher at the age of 17 in 1999 in New Orleans. 2002, booked with burglary and possession of stolen things. Convicted and sentenced to 3 years on those charges. 2012, pleaded guilty to a firearm charge, sentenced to 5 years there.
Jesus.
And he also had marijuana possession and you know, possession of a firearm again.
All those little random five-year things. So,
yeah, but I'm sure he did actually spend all that time.
In the last 20 years, how much time did he spend outside of jail?
I'm sure he also skipped out on some bail on some things, too. He did not register as a sex offender. Apparently, he was sleeping with someone, a 15-year-old girl, in 2011.
Oh, that's why?
Carnal knowledge of a juvenile.
Oh, wow.
Such a great way to say sleeping with someone underage.
I knew it wasn't some pedo shit, but I knew it was a technicality, even though that is very weird.
And he was back out. Let's see. Online courts show that this dude, Barnes, has lengthy convictions. However, he was in court just over a month ago to be arraigned on charges for failing to register as a sex offender. And this is back from 2011 with the 15-year-old girl. He pleaded not guilty in the case, for which he was out on $5,000 bail. And he was due back in court on Monday, tomorrow.
Wow.
So in the interim, he just went and killed somebody.
Oh, man.
And when you're hot, you're hot.
You know? No, I get it. It always these sex offender things always make me laugh because the guy, the Alabama fan who put his nuts on the LSU fan after they won the championship.
Right. And that was a sex offender.
Second degree sexual battery. He either could have done one of two things. He would have had to serve 2 years in jail here, not in Alabama, or take 5 years probation and register as a sex offender in Tuscaloosa. Now, which one is worse?
Tuscaloosa, right?
Registered, but you registered as a sex offender.
Would you rather go to jail?
No, I registered as a sex offender.
Right.
I said, which one is worse? Which one would you rather
do? Jail. You'd rather, the worst one.
Yeah, exactly. You know why? Because registering as a sex offender in Tuscaloosa, when your crime was you put nuts on an LSU fan's head.
You're a hero.
No one cares.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah, that guy. We'll hire him still.
Yeah.
He's not a kid doodler.
Can you see that guy interviewing for some, like, $80,000 a year job?
Yeah.
And he aces the interview and they do the background check.
And they're like, oh.
So we got to ask you questions about this. And he comes out completely honest.
He's like, yeah, teabag of a guy on bourbon. And they're like, yeah, you're hired. Just don't do that again.
Do you have any photos of it? Yeah, I mean, that's only because the guy pressed charges, right? Obviously, like, fraternities across the country are hazing each other by putting their balls on each other's
faces.
Well,
there was a video of it. That's why he pressed charges.
Even better.
Well, that's the only way he was able to prove it.
So do you think French Quarter security guards should be armed, Stephen?
It's hard to say because so many security guards are not like to that level of
training. So what do you need? You just need a firearms license, right?
Or you need a firearms license. They need to make like a standard to carry in the quarter, just like New York City. You know, New York City is like way higher than like Westchester, New York.
Yeah.
They need to make that standard a lot higher so that the training that you need and the background checks, because really, yeah, here, security guards, you don't need any kind of
training. And how about that holster action where apparently you can just reach over and pull the gun?
That's the other thing is that the training is that you don't get that kind of, like when you're a cop, you always have your head on a swivel with stupid people trying to pull your gun, right? The security guards, like, unless they're ex-cops, they don't have that kind of, like,
right,
years and years of, you know, head on a swivel.
So. But in that Bourbon Street crowd, like, what do you think is going to happen when you're the guy who went for someone's gun?
I always think that a solid can or a solid little thing of mace is really.
But everybody gets mace when, with that many people, everybody in Willie's Chicken Shack is getting it.
Fuck them all.
Okay.
Right. Sorry, I just saved all your lives. Now go wash your eyes out.
An aside here, for the sadness of losing this nurse on Bourbon Street, it's always the nice people like that who get killed, and it's never that guy at the exit ramp of Poitras who squeezes your car. Why can't he die? I've been wanting to bring this up for a couple weeks now, because we did something, I believe, when our buddy Brandon, DreamsterMedia.com, he was on the show, and we talked about what thing offends you. When was the last time you felt genuinely offended?
Oh, and he was talking about the British.
And I couldn't come up with anything for myself. And then later on that day, I got off I-10 at Poitras, which I never do, into downtown. And you get stuck at that light right by the Superdome. And that goddamn squeegee guy just starts squeegeeing the back of my car.
Yes, that is kind of offensive. And why? Because that water is awful.
But what do you do? I was honking my horn, screaming out the window, and this guy just kept going. It's like, do I have to put this in park and get out of the car and make a scene in front of all these other people sitting at the awful light?
Oh, you will be the villain then.
Exactly. And I was just screaming, get the.
Oh my God.
And he comes around and was like, it's already done, man. And I was like, in that moment, that's when somebody should ask me, what are your opinions on, on restoring order to like a criminal city. I'm like, oh, I think we should kill everyone. In that moment, it's just like, right. It's like when I get off a plane and there's been a crying baby. Like, that's when you ask me about my opinions on abortion. Right. When I get off that plane from a flight to Orlando.
When you're at.
What's your opinion on children? I'm like, you know what? I just did 2 hours on a plane with a crying child.
What does Michael Scott call it? Threat level midnight. When you're at threat level midnight, that's when, you need to get the opinions of the prophet.
Yeah, why can't that guy?
Don't you wish you just had like a plate of mayonnaise in your like possession?
No, I wanted to
just throw at him.
I don't understand how, the logical part of my head was like, he can just start washing your car. He doesn't come up and ask for permission, and you got to give a signal, go for it. He just starts. It's like the guys who ask you where you got your shoes, or give you the shoe shine on Bourbon. You have to say yes or no. They're not just going to start doing it.
I saw somebody kick that shit out of his hand once, and I was laughing so hard.
Right. But so the part of my mind is like, how is this? He can't do that. He can't just start fucking touching my car and then expect me to give him money. That's like, that's not going down. And then the other part of my mind was taking the squeegee from him and beating him to death in front of a cheering audience of people also sitting at that light on the Poitras ramp. They hoisted me on their shoulders like 3PO. Return of the Jedi.
Could you imagine?
And me telling the judge the next day, they may be their king, sir.
Could you imagine if you came home, like, you had to go fix something in Baton Rouge, and you had to fight that traffic all the way back, and you're finally getting off the exit, and you're really like...
Yeah, you're right there.
Then you would have been in front of a judge.
You were talking about how, like, the guy who put the balls on the LSU fan's face, it would be a hero as a sex offender in Tuscaloosa.
Only there, though.
Only there? Yeah. You think if a news story came out, you know, man beats to death squeegee wiper guy at Poitras on-ramp, like, you know, city drops charges, man elected
I
run for mayor on like what qualifies you for being mayor? I beat the squeegee man to death at the point. That's like fixing a pothole. You're a local hero.
Right. I can think of two high level defense attorneys that would pro bono right there for you. I'm serious. I was talking to one the other day. He was lamenting about this very situation.
I'd have a broken squeegee stick with like a little artwork, like defend New Orleans.
It's not. It's one thing. It's like I don't mind these guys trying to make a buck with their freaking dirty bathwater, but if the guy says no in the car and you still do it, anything that comes to you after that point, you had coming.
He's touching my property.
Right.
I know. It's not. I don't want to be too touchy about like, well, don't, man, that's my personal space, man. But like, dirty, grimy ass homeless dude. Just start doing stuff and then thinks he's just going to, like, extort you into money?
You actually have to get a car wash after that because of the germs in that awful water. Where's he getting the water from?
I was just thinking, what kind of, like, defense system do I have to have, like, fucking the Batmobile where, like, it just, like, drops the bomb, right. Bomb outside the tire?
Intimidate.
Or, like, gas, tear gas?
Intimidate.
I just want, like, tear gas can just shoot out from my back tires. So, yeah, so in that moment,
dude,
no,
you absolutely could get him back, though.
Yeah, I can just drive over him when I come off the ramp again.
Go down the ramp, do the same nonsense, have him come over, and then when he's done, have the money right here, money, mace.
I'm just, why can't that stray bullet?
Mace him in the eye.
Why can't that stray bullet from Willie's Chicken Shack ricochet around like it was coming for Kennedy and take out that squeegee guy?
Could you imagine if you were behind somebody and they maced a homeless guy and you're just watching this guy just like, ah, coming from a car? That makes you happy.
Fucking cheer. Dance like a Mardi Gras Indian around that dude as he rides in pain on the Poitras ramp. Sorry, in that moment, I'm only fantasizing the worst possible things. And it's like, that's when you should ask me about my opinions on this issue, because you're going to get the most honest answer out of me.
The only thing is interesting when you meet people that want to have a conversation with like the downtrodden. Like for instance, I know someone who, when a guy asks them for money, he says, "Look, man, I'm just trying to buy a beer." This person will buy that guy a beer and then want to talk to him about his life. I'm baffled by that kind of a complete lunacy.
That's just like, I'm not from here. I think I'm being a good person.
Exactly.
Yesterday, we're walking back from the Pontchartrain, crew Pontchartrain parade on St. Charles. We're cutting back through the CBD. And this woman came up to us with a, "Hey, y'all, you have a minute?" Da, 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 da. I'm like, "Oh, here we go. Here we go." It's like, "Hey, so my whole family died in a house fire yesterday. And I was just wondering if you could spare some, you know, just get me something from Rouse's." And straight up, she's wearing like 17 Mardi Gras beads. Like, "Oh, your family died in a fire yesterday, but you're out here catching beats." Like, really?
So,
and our defense to tell this woman off is like, "No, we're from here."
So there was a lady in Costco's parking lot pulling scams on people doing that. She was coming up to people.
If you're going
to
pull a scam, here's step one. Don't look like a crackhead.
Yes, that's what she was scamming people. She was coming up to them. She looked normal, I guess. And she was like, "Look, my apartment complex just burned down, and while you're talking to her, her children were robbing random groceries from you. Because in Costco, there's no bags."
Right, right.
She got, and somebody whipped the shit out of her.
Oh, fantastic. See? In that moment, if I see that happening, and some guy...
Like saw the kid stealing, and just turned, and just goes open hand.
If somebody was just doing, I don't know, like hockey mitts, just like to these kids' faces, and then the woman is getting like side slammed into a Volkswagen that's parked there. I'm just watching, cheering. There's no hero here.
It's interesting how that's the first time I've ever heard of someone being approached in Costco, and there's no security guards there.
Well, again,
and there's always those people when you get off the interstate right there. There's always like that crowd of homeless
people.
Oh, I know.
There's the bass player dude in the median.
Well, he's fine.
He hits like the golf balls on
the
string.
Yeah, he hits the golf balls. He plays the drums. And like he's fine because he doesn't do anything.
Yeah, he's not squeegeeing your car without your permission.
But there's over here by at the end of Canal by the cemetery, there's a guy who dresses in fatigues. And he's a veteran, right?
In quotes, veteran?
Yes. I watch these people have like their side meetings, and like they do like a rotation down here. It's like you do this, I'll do that. Like they're pretty coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane.
Because you never see any of them fighting over a corner. They've already worked it out.
They have to.
They got a schedule somewhere posted.
That would be a documentary.
They're waking up under the expressway and they're checking their schedule. Like, oh, what corner am I on today? All right.
That would be a documentary.
All right, Clarence, I'm on 2 to 6. You know, at Poitras and
right. And the same thing like down by when you go off the interstate at Chop, it's the same thing. Like they have all those corners right there, and like they have to like work that out, right?
If I was ever born with some level of empathy for people like that, I mean, 3 decades on Earth have removed it. I will never give money to a homeless person. I've been harassed in this city and other cities, just harassed. Just like, stop talking to me. Stop walking with me 3 blocks. Go away.
Are you serious?
Yes. Other, not just here, other cities.
If somebody walked with you 3 blocks?
Oh, yeah. I've had that. Yeah, someone just, I'm walking somewhere, and I try to look to be the most unapproachable person in the world. And still, these people just don't. Obviously, they've gotten to a situation in life by not having awareness. And probably have approached the wrong people their entire lives.
Did you pull down your collar and show them your chest and it says not welcome?
Oh, that would be
that crazy painting on your chest.
No, and we had one in Chicago, my apartment building at the time, 10 years ago. We had a double door entrance where you walked in one door with a key, and the next door was like a button code. But in that little in between area,
somebody can get in.
And they're sleeping there, and I literally have to step over them to get to the next door. And you think, oh, this poor homeless guy, he's just trying to get out of the cold. I'm like, I pay rent for heat here,
right?
You pay nothing.
I know people that would have dragged him out by his feet.
Exactly, and that's where it's like,
in the snow,
what a bunch of assholes! Like, no. You let one thing happen like this, and it all just starts sliding down. And like it's like nobody gets up and does their whatever they do Monday through Friday all weekend, going to a place they don't want to go to for money, to get money for things like food and heat and shelter.
Right.
And then this guy over here, just because, oh, he's a victim of circumstance. Well, there's a new circumstance. There's a new, you're not getting anything.
It's into the anti-frying pan you go.
And you think, how could you say such an insensitive thing? It's like, because you're getting this fresh opinion from me right after a squeegee man attacks my car.
Dang, I'm surprised like, it took you
maybe
two, 3
if 6 months,
to discuss this.
I just kept forgetting about it. But maybe if 6 months have gone by and nothing had ever happened to me, or I grow up in Wyoming and I'm not used to homeless people, and I'm on vacation in the city and someone comes up to me saying they want to hit up Rouse's and get something to eat. And then you ask me about my opinion on helping the homeless. It's going to be this hoity-toity, hippie.
Right.
Yeah, they're people just like you, man. No. Mm-mm. Just get robbed once. And then immediately, like, kill them all.
Yeah. I know a lot of people.
I don't know how anybody. If there was a protest or something, or some fundraiser let's help feed and clothe that homeless. I want to interview every person and find out if any of them have ever been robbed, carjacked.
There's a program at every hotel in the city takes place and almost called Feed the Need.
But I want to talk to every person, and I want them to explain to me how they went from being like a victim of one of these lunatics to thinking, oh, well, you know, we should still raise money for them.
Oh, well, they're raising money. That's different. The hotels just
like for people to partake in these things.
Yeah.
Because obviously they've never been like accosted by anybody. How about if you're some crazy guy just shot a family member of yours on Bourbon Street. And then what's your opinion on security levels on Bourbon?
Yeah, there's speaking of security in Bourbon, you know, I heard.
And what exactly are the cops on horses supposed to do?
They can just see. That's it. They can just see higher.
Because I would love to see one of those guys chase down somebody, you know, full gallop.
They could absolutely kill somebody.
Oh, well, yeah. Again, there's another instance where I see a horse stomping a guy, and I just
there for the vantage point. That's all, and kind of the intimidation because, like, really,
how many people though? Here we go, another thing. Bourbon Street crime going down. The cops apprehend the dude. Dude's fighting back, and one cop there, second cop there, third cop there, wailing on him because the dude's not giving up. And then someone's taking a video of it, being like, look how unfairly this...
We commented on it, play by play.
This guy is being treated by...
Do you remember when we did that?
Oh, like, yeah.
They had the one outside Razoo's.
Yeah, they were razzing the cops.
Oh, gosh.
As they were trying to arrest the
dude.
That
one cop looks so scared.
I'd be the guy in the crowd. Beat him to death! Beat him to death! World star!
Give him an elbow right in his face.
Wouldn't feel... It's like, I'll help! I know, I want to stay out of it.
So what they're doing for security measures that they're starting to think about. If you want to walk around in the French Quarter between hours like 8 at night.
No, you got to make it like midnight to 6 a.m.
Hold up. This is what they're doing. They're doing 8 to 8 because of the shift change. They're thinking 8 to 8. If you walk in the quarter, they're going to make people aware that you are giving up your rights to like searches and seizures. Like anybody can come up to you and search. Not like they're just going to have a little bit more leeway.
But that doesn't do anything to the psycho guy who grabs the guard's gun.
Oh, no, that doesn't do anything. No.
And I don't think, oh, they're doing 8 to 8 random inspections, search and seizures.
They're thinking about it. Yeah.
The lunatic with 20 years of criminal activity who's still getting blitzed and just trying to harass people. He's not processing. Oh, wait, they're doing that new 8-to-8 thing. No, it's not. That's
right. And again, I think what they're trying to do is just deter people again. Because, like, if you see people just getting searched and you're a criminal, like, you're just seeing people getting searched, that's all it is. It's just a visual. But I don't know how they're going to do that because you're violating a lot of rights there. But they're trying to make it to where, you enter
in. That's not the point of the debate, though.
No, this is just a side. That's it's a complete
because
side
they
issue.
Already confiscate firearms off people. And it doesn't matter because obviously you can just steal a gun off a guard or whatever else. Or someone can still get beat to death, yeah. Trip, fall the wrong way and hit their head on the curb, as we've already talked about, and create a scene. And then the newspaper article the next day is, you know, innocent pet store owner, you know, beat to death accidentally on Bourbon Street.
There's a veterinarian.
Someone get in a fight and thrown off a balcony. I'm surprised
that hadn't happened.
I know. Where's that fight on the balcony?
Oh my gosh!
That the person just gets tossed off and lands on their skull.
Someone's definitely getting tossed off next weekend because you said that.
Royal Rumble, baby, over the top rope, you're out. No title shot for you at WrestleMania. We started this episode with the music about the Zulus, and we haven't brought this up again. I know we talked about blackface before, but the Take 'Em Down Nola are best buddies. Who actually are managed or run, or the people in charge of Take 'Em Down Nola aren't even from New Orleans. So they're totally like cultural carpetbaggers coming down here for their cause.
Take the statues down Nola.
The same people are the ones who are outside of the Zulu Social Club HQ protesting. And the Zulu guys, to their absolute credit, kick ass, went out in front of their protest and applied their makeup in front of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Love it.
So
standing by, they're still doing their
so
face
when
paint.
when you're white, like you put on the face paint and everything else, right? When
but
you're,
it's also like all the black dudes and whatnot. They do that in too. Zulu. Yeah, they put on the fake because the whole thing with Zulu is like they did that face paint before. I don't even calling it blackface is kind of a misnomer here.
It's stupid,
but they did it before because they couldn't, you know, quote unquote afford masks or right. Whatever. So
I know white people that have ridden in Zulu that put that on,
right.
They're insane.
And
to
Take
me.
Them Down Nola. It's a historical example of white supremacy. Baby, baby.
And to their credit, they said, no, it's not.
Yeah. They're all standing good by. Like, fuck off. Get out of here.
Good for them.
This has nothing to do with you.
Who are the people from Take 'Em Down Nola? Is it a bunch of white, like...
No. Folks? It's these black dudes that okay. Are like total white supremacy. That opening bit of the show was one of the protesters.
I actually don't mind that because... I would have a big issue with the white knight, white guys out there like, man, this is cultural appropriation, man. No. I wouldn't like that.
What's funny with the blackface?
So it's black versus black?
What's funny, they want to focus on the blackface or face painting in Zulu as an example of white supremacy, as this cultural like holdover thing from a bygone era. Whereas like every Mardi Gras parade has dudes in full white robes and masks.
Yeah.
In fact, the first time I took my mom to a parade, I think I mentioned it a year.
When you were at Herb Saint, she was like, why is the Klan?
Yeah, what's with the KKK thing at Mardi Gras? And it's like, you know, it's weird how they just
see it differently.
That's, yeah, that, but we're going blackface with Zulu, but we almost have virtual KKK Klan guys in every parade just with the white robes.
Yeah. And the entire history of Mardi Gras is like how they were uninclusive of minorities and all these things. It's like,
and women.
and women, like the whole, and like how like each crew, that's right, is, there's no, there's, is there mixed crew? There are a couple mixed crews.
Every crew is a social club.
Right.
That doesn't allow people they don't want in it.
It's great.
It's,
I love it.
It's, that is the history of the world right there, is people setting up clubs where they only let certain people in, and then there's initiation processes to get those people in, and they can choose to not let anyone in. That could be a race thing, like, definitely a sex thing. Gentlemen's clubs?
Absolutely.
There ain't no ladies in any of those.
Bienville Club.
And it's not just in this city. It is a worldwide historical thing. And so, but I don't know. That all just inches in on that whole, like, you can't have a club, or if you have a club, you have to let everybody in, which defeats the purpose of having a club.
Well, that's
officially.
Why, that's why Comas can't have a parade.
Right. Yeah, they quit. They dropped it.
Because the city was like, you have to
then
allow.
They shut down their crew. They said, nope.
They still get a ball, though, which is weird, and they still get a chance to rent out, like.
And they still hang out.
Yeah, of course they do.
I'm sure. As a social club.
Of course they do.
What, do they not allow women?
They don't allow minorities or women, but they have a ball at either the Sheraton or the Marriott, whichever one it is, because, like, the King of Comus invites the King of Rex, and they walk across Canal Street, and yada, 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 yada.
Love it.
So stupid.
I mean, the entire history of the South is just draped in, like, stuff you don't want. I don't know. We used to feed Christians the lions. Like, it's...
Sure.
Pick your thing in history that you are upset by. What, bro?
And, but we're still... But in this city, we keep going with that narrative. We just kind of sweep it under the rug. And it's like, yeah, Mardi Gras is family fun time, but the history of it is just complete lunacy.
I mean, you could dig up the family-friendly anythings. Look at Disney. Look at the bloody hill that Disney's built upon of anti-Semitic Walt Disney, or all of our Ford Motor Company, and them just building 30% of the trucks for Nazi Germany. I just pick your thing where you're just ignoring some glaring thing over here.
What do you think would be a good show? Is where we discuss like the culture of New Orleans and how like the New Orleans tourism and marketing would present it, and then you and I are just like the two old Muppets in the balcony.
That is what we do. That is the whole thing.
But it would
we
be,
take these nice little things
every single issue.
Everybody likes all the happy culture, and we say no, ain't like that. And own it. All we ask for is that you own it. Don't pretend it doesn't exist.
When they used to do us and them at the Dome, us versus them,
yeah.
It would be like the New Orleans marketing thing and like their like video of it, and then it would be me and you. Like, this is what's really happening.
Yeah, but the us versus them segments are like cutesy.
They're, I don't know.
Like, we could.
Ours would be brutal.
We could drag up like everything. Hey, this dome you're sitting in right now, we completely shut down and dug up an entire cemetery right here for it. And then the city illegally confiscated LaSalle Street so you could have Champion Square.
Dude, this guy from the CBB was talking about all this shit with the mayor's office, and she is not participating. She is going on like a tirade. The sewage and water board prices, they're adding a random tax to it now, and they're calling it a drainage fee. It's going to be like,
for what? For what purpose?
Storm damage. Storm drainage.
Oh, we got to give a shout out before we end this episode. Sewage and Water Board, two more guys busted for sleeping.
Oh, they sent me a $1,000 bill to my dad's apartment, too. $1,000.
Again?
Yep. No. This is one of my dad's apartments. $1,000 bill. And then, like, and the day after, it was, two guys sleeping on the job. I was like, Dad, you got to call them. And I sent him the article. I was like, this is why you have to inquire, because people are sleeping on a job. $1,034.
And the award for most comfortable chairs in the city goes to the Sewage and Water Board.
Jesus.
You just,
what's going on
sleeping
there? It's a bunch of Homer Simpsons? Sector 34. Who's that? Simpson, eh?
Yeah. So, an auspicious beginning to Mardi Gras here with corpses on Bourbon Street already.
So, are we doing this Endymion Saturday next week?
We're going to try to do Null Trash Talk 229 Endymion Saturday from Mid-City New Orleans. We've pulled it up off before. It's not too difficult.
16, 17, 18. This will be our fourth anniversary for that. Remember when we went in a time machine to the Mexican place?
So we'll try to do Endymion Saturday for the next episode, try to keep the Nola Trash Talk active throughout Mardi Gras, which is kind of impossible. But, you know, we're doing our best over here. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
And I'm Steve McJeezy.
Shout out to the Zulus.